Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to this exciting special edition of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 28, C6 coverage. We will be giving our broad general thoughts on C6. We'll get deeper into that in our next episode. But before we can get into the discussion, I am, as always, Jason Hunt. And with me, the Darth Vader to my friend Moff Tarkin, we have Carl LeClaire.
Hey, Jason. I would answer you with a booming voice if I had one, but I don't. I think Stephen Stanton would be impressed with that Tarkin you just did.
Oh, thank you.
Quite incredible.
Speaking of Stephen Stanton, have you seen some of the pictures of him in his Tarkin costume from C6?
Oh, yeah. He looks
immaculate.
Yeah. He looks incredible. So, and
there was a picture from the... Sorry, we're jumping ahead here. This is sort of our brief, like, geek out about Celebration 6 before we get into our detailed report. There was a picture on, I think, Facebook from the Season 5 premiere red carpet event. And someone's interviewing Dave Filoni, and behind Dave Filoni, Stephen Stanton is standing there in his Tarkin uniform with that, you know, the way that Tarkin holds his finger up to his lips, and he's just looking at him like with such almost disdain, like Tarkin would, and it looked so perfect. I was like, oh my gosh, he's coming out of the screen. The only thing is Stephen Stanton is just a little taller than Peter Cushing, but we'll forgive him that.
He can't help that.
No.
No, yeah, he looked great. We couldn't find him, though.
No.
Remember, we were looked for him a couple of the days there. We just didn't seem to find him.
At that point, we were already inside the digital theater waiting for the premiere to start, so we didn't see him.
That's right.
I'm assuming he probably walked in, but that place was packed. So
Yeah, and we were at the front. VIP, what up?
Woo-hoo!
So, anyway, we're jumping ahead again. So, pretty much what we're going to be doing today, this is just kind of a quick recap so you guys get a sense of what Jason and I were up to when we were at C6, and we pretty much did all the same things. We stuck together, like, you know, R2 and 3PO, we were pretty faithful to one another.
Yes.
Yeah, do you like that? That was a good one.
Yes.
So we're just going to talk a little bit about what we did. We're going to open it up with hopefully a couple of guests for our next show next week. We met a couple of great people. We were down there, and we had a blast. I mean, simply put, we had a blast. If you saw our pictures, you can probably tell how much fun we had. So we're just going to give you a brief synopsis of a day-to-day, what we did at Celebration 6 in sunny, humid Orlando. So for a Boston boy, it felt awful to me, but I know it wasn't too bad for you, Jason.
No, from Texas and then now Arizona, it really wasn't that big of a deal. You know, I'm like, everybody's like, oh, it's so hot, oh, it's so humid. I'm just like, this is almost home to me. So,
yeah. So, but anywho, but right. Yeah. So Thursday, what did we do Thursday?
Thursday, we started off the day, running over to the convention floor or the convention center. Going, oh my goodness, we have to get in early so we can get stuff before the doors open for everybody else. Turns out that was the only day they were allowing media to go inside early. But we got in, they had like a little ribbon cutting opening ceremony thing in front of a giant AT-AT, which was, you know, probably I'd say quarter scale maybe. It was pretty big though. Probably at least two stories, maybe? Not quite.
Yeah, almost two full stories, though, yeah.
Of the convention center, which are tall stories. Yeah. So, but we got to run inside and take a look at the Celebration store, which I was not too impressed with. But I think my favorite thing that we got to do early was take pictures with that Rancor. As you can see from my now profile picture on Facebook, I had a blast with that. The Rancor is awesome.
Yeah. What was they had a name for it?
I think it was Roxy.
Yeah, Roxy the Rancor. That's right.
It was nearly life size. I think it might have been like a foot or two short.
Right. Although Kyle was almost taller than it. For those of you who don't know who Kyle's been on our show twice now. He was on our music episode and our also the clone. What was the other one he was on? Clone Wars.
I think he's been on three times.
Okay.
I don't remember. It was the music. It was our favorite characters, and I think there was something else. I'm not remembering off the top of my head.
Well, anyway, Kyle came with Jason, and great guy. He helps out a lot with the Frontlines podcast. But Kyle is 6'8", and he's a very tall man, to put it simply. And I like the picture he had of himself with the Rancor pretending to fight it, and he looks like he might be only a little bit shorter.
Yes. We do have to point out that in the pictures, the Rancor is bent over.
It is. So. That's right. Yeah. It's not standing up to its full height. But, yeah, that was actually one of my favorite. Right off the bat, Thursday, I mean, we got up and we were out that door by 8 o'clock. And, I just have to mention real quick the Continental Breakfast. I was crazy about it. So I meant every day at the end of the day, when anybody would ask me, what's your favorite part of the day? I'd be like, it's got to be the Continental Breakfast this morning.
Yeah.
But anyway, it really wasn't that great.
But, it was free, so.
Right, you can't beat that. But, that was a lot of fun. We got to get in early on Thursday, and they let us onto the floor around 9 o'clock, so about a good hour before the rest of the people were allowed in. So we had a lot of open space to take pictures, which was awesome, because later on, obviously, Thursdays, and almost every other day we were there, I mean, everything was just so packed, you could take pictures, but you had to wait in lines, or there was probably always, like, lots of random people in the background, so that was great. We definitely used that as our photo op day, which was a lot of fun. And I know you said you were a little disappointed in the C6 store. I was, too, and the one thing I wanted to get, of course, was sold out when I went back to buy it. They had this really cool Mos Eisley pint glass that would have been perfect in my kitchen, but, that's life. So,
yeah,
but yeah, and that and Thursday, I mean, pretty much all what was it Thursday morning. We pretty much just spent the day walking the floor and checking out the exhibitors, right?
Yeah, we did at 11:30. We went to a panel called "Inside the Clone Wars Tech."
That's right,
with Dave Filoni and Joel Aaron, and they talked about like the advances in technology for the upcoming season of the Clone Wars. And at the end, they showed us what Dave was calling something to exhibit. Their improvement in making snow, which turned out to be an awesome chase scene where Embo was chasing Anakin, Padme, and I believe Senator Clovis. Yes, he's coming back, folks. In basically a sledding race down a snowy mountain. And nobody was paying attention to the snow in the clip. I can guarantee you that.
That was a cool scene. It kind of reminded me of the scene in the Frosty the Snowman animated movie when Frosty belly flops down the hill with the little girl on his back. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Except it was more exciting because there was lightsabers.
Yes. Yes.
That's right. And
but after that, we didn't really do much other than walk the floor and find out where everything was. And we checked out some of the booths and things like that. So.
Right. Yeah, and the one little comment I'll make quick about the inside the Clone Wars tech is it really is incredible the amount of advancements they've already made in their their effects and the CGI. I've been rewatching the Clone Wars seasons 1 through 4 this summer, the last few weeks now, and between 1 and 4, you can tell markedly a vast improvement in the digital characters, and even more so in season 5. Because Dave Filoni was saying how they want to develop the characters a bit more here and go a little bit deeper, and you have to be able to use facial expressions, which now they're capable of doing. We saw some examples of that, but
yeah, which was some pretty impressive facial expressions through the digital characters now. So
yeah, and the one thing he said that got me really excited, because this is one odd thing I really love about R2-D2, and I'm sure you know all about it, Jason. But he was saying about how R2-D2 has that little you know, that little red and blue light. Yes. on his dome there. I remember reading an article when I was a kid. It was in like a Star Wars Insider magazine, and it said that the red and the blue was meant to depict R2's mood. I don't know if that's still canon or not. I don't think it is, but it said whenever it was red, R2 was kind of angry. Whenever it was blue, he was happy and relaxed. And sometimes it was red and blue right down the middle, meaning he was like in the middle. Irked. But Dave Filoni was saying that now they have the ability to make that red and blue, because I literally just watched an episode where it's a red dot the whole time, which is fine. I mean, it's just incredible, you know, how much they're capable of doing. And, you know, like both he and Joel Aaron were saying, you know, what they really want to do is give it the best quality they can. And, you know, it's pretty incredible, because, like, these are minute little details that, for the most part, even hardcore Star Wars fans are probably fine without, but yet they want to give it to you, which is really cool.
Yeah. It just shows the dedication of the people involved in the project, so.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, so that was Thursday until... We did something Thursday night.
Yes, we actually did two things back-to-back. We had the Phantom Menace panel, Ian McDiarmid.
That's right. Which was amazing.
It was, and unfortunately, because of the way the line situation happened, we got in, like, late, and so they started the panel late, which meant that we were only able to watch, like, 15, 20 minutes of it before we had to duck out for our other panel. Let's talk about Ian McDiarmid for a little bit first.
He was awesome. I mean, Ian McDiarmid was the coolest thing about it. When he walked out onto the stage, he started pretending to do like force lightning into the crowd, and people just went nuts. I mean, it was it was incredible. And people don't know, I don't think we mentioned this yet, but James Arnold Taylor was the host of the main stage. So yes. James Arnold Taylor was the one doing all the interviews with the big actors that were there doing the panels. And James Arnold Taylor was just, he was incredible. I mean, he's funny. He's tiny, though, too, which is kind of cute. Because, like, he has the,
he's like his, your size.
Yeah, but he was smaller than me, I think. But he was just, incredible. And he asked great questions of Ian McDiarmid. And Ian McDiarmid was just such a... I was really impressed with listening to him, because I don't know much about him. I don't know much about a lot of the Star Wars actors, though. But it seems like, you know, he was talking a little bit about how he was, you know, professionally trained. He was on the stages in London and stuff. So, you know, he's like an actor's actor. I mean, he's not just run-of-the-mill, like, he started in soap operas. I mean, he started on the stage, which is...
Oh, yeah, and he's pretty big over in England on the stage, if I remember correctly. If I remember correctly, he was, like, the director of the Globe Theatre in England, which, if you don't know your theatre history, is basically the namesake of Shakespeare's theatre that was destroyed and then rebuilt a couple times over the years, but which is basically where, like, all the really big Shakespeare... It's essentially Broadway for England. Yeah. He was... For a while, I know he was at least a season or two, he was the director for the Globe Theatre, which is impressive. And this is the first celebration he's been able to get to, simply because of other theater commitments. So it was just really nice to have the consummate professional with a sense of humor come in and tell people about what happened with Star Wars.
He told in his story about when he first met George Lucas. I mean, it's funny. George Lucas is an odd fella, the way he interacts with his actors, it sounds like. And... You know, Ian McDiarmid told a great story about how when he first met him back in the 80s, and he was such a great speaker. I mean, he told good stories, and he's very bright and very articulate, as you can tell, obviously, in just the Star Wars films. But, you know, unfortunately, like Jason said, we were only able to listen in about 15 to 20 minutes of that, because we had to run out for the panel after it. But he was just incredible. I wish we could have stayed longer, because the one thing I really liked about Ian McDiarmid is he talked a lot about his experience with Star Wars. I mean, that was kind of, this was his first celebration event. You know, when we talk a little bit later about Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, you know, they've been to these events before, so it's probably, you know, they're looking for something new to say, but Ian McDiarmid has never done this, so he's really concerned with telling us about his Star Wars experience, which was really cool.
Yeah, it really was. But the panel that we had to run out to get to was a panel that was going on by our friend, Michael Cohen, who was on a couple episodes ago with our Clone Wars episode. It was his, if you remember from that episode, he was advertising his 100th episode panel that he was going to be having at Celebration, which was really fun. It was a little... We had some technical difficulties because the staff there were, you know, having problems trying to get everything set up. But once we got it started, I got to, since, for those of you that don't know, I record the intro for Frontlines. And so I developed a new one for the 100th episode to be used afterwards. And I got to do that live to open up the panel, which was why we had to run over there. And then later on in the episode, Michael had us and some of the other podcasting friends that he had come up and talk about our stuff, you know, because he wanted to, since he had a forum to do that, he wanted to be able to do that. So, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really was. It was really cool that he was the only, well, besides the Force Cast, of course, but besides the Force Cast, Mike was the only one who had a podcast panel, which was really cool. I think it's really cool that Lucasfilm gave him that opportunity. Again, it shows how much they support these fan projects. But, you know, it's also quite a feat to have recorded your 100th episode of a podcast. I mean, goodness, we're a long way from, we're barely 30% there. But, you know, he did a good job. And, you know, like you said, Jason, it was a little slow going at first just because of some technical difficulties. But, you know, he had a great panel there. He had, of course, Kyle, who helps out a lot with the Frontlines. We had, Matt the Crankster over Skype. Unfortunately, yes. He wasn't there, but that's all right. It was great to have him there, at least vocally. And then Chris Hawtheist Planet Smith from the Sarlacc Pit joined them, and our new beloved friend Steve Glosson from Geeking Out Loud.
Yes, Geek Out Loud.
He's a riot, to put it simply. If you've never listened to Geek Out Loud, I never had until I got back home in Boston. I downloaded a couple episodes already. You have to listen to it.
He's hysterical.
He's just so funny. It's not strictly Star Wars. I mean, they do talk about Star Wars occasionally, but it's just, you know, stuff on, you know, geeky things we all probably love. And Steve is
superheroes. And
yeah,
TV shows and all sorts of fun geeky stuff.
Right. But Steve just, I mean, he made that panel so funny. And Mike from Frontlines, again, he was just, he did great. He did a great job. You know, he worked through all the little difficulties at the beginning and put together a really good show and had some little, you know, contests for people to win T-shirts and stuff. And Jason and I got some sweet Frontlines T-shirts while we were there to help promote it as well. And, Mike is a graphic designer and he designed that. So if you don't know what the Frontlines is, you got to get over there and check them out because they're awesome. Mike and Matt make a great show over there.
Oh, yes.
But a funny story is they were, right before we started to record it, I was asking Mike, and Mike's wife was there as well, Crystal, and they're a beautiful couple, wonderful people. And they were saying to me, like, Carl, go get in the hall. Like, try to rope more people into coming into the panel. And they had the problem, poor Mike, too, of course, though. His panel was going, you know, right after and actually running into Ian McDermott's, where lots of people obviously were. So I went out into the hall to, you know, tell a couple people to come in. I think I got two people to go in. But then as I'm standing there, Anthony Daniels walks right by me. I'm like, wait, that's Anthony Daniels. So I just walk up to, he was walking with two official picks people, and I just walked up to him and I was like, oh, excuse me, Mr. Daniels, my friend is about to record his 100th podcast in the room right over here. Would you mind joining us just to even say hello or something? And he was very pleasant, and he said, oh, no, I'm sorry, I can't right now, and just went on his merry way. But, you know, he could have easily rudely ignored me or something, but he was very pleasant about it. But I went in there feeling a little defeated that I couldn't, because I know that would have made me a champ if I'd gotten Anthony Daniels to come in. But that's okay. That's all right. At least I got to talk to the guy. He was very pleasant. So
talk to Anthony Daniels. I'm jealous.
So that was Thursday. But Jason, you guys went and did something Thursday night.
Yes. Mike, Crystal, Kyle, and I.
And Chris.
Right after the... Oh, yes. And Chris. Thank you. Would be remiss if I missed Chris. That was not intended to be that funny, but it happened. We, as soon as the Frontlines panel was done and we broke everything down, said, you know, goodbyes and stuff like that, we ran off to go to Disney's Hollywood Studios to ride the new Star Tours ride. And have you ridden the original one, Carl?
No, I had never ridden any of them, but...
Okay, well...
It sounded incredible, but I'll let you explain it.
It was. The second one is a lot better, just visually and the way that the whole animatronic thing works with the visuals. It's in 3D, and it's completely randomized instead of, you know, a set path that you have to follow. I don't remember the amount of locations, but there's like up to 52, I believe, different, completely different combinations that you can end up traveling on. And it's, you know, C-3PO gets stuck piloting this thing, and there's an animatronic C-3PO sitting like right across a divider from you guys in the ship, which is awesome because he looks very real. And like at one of the rides I went on, I was sitting like right in his line of sight when he turns around to look at us, and he like sometimes he like will cock his head, you know, like he does in the films, you know, to make a point or ask a question or something. And whenever he would do that, it was like he was looking exactly at me, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's C-3PO.
It's because he knows you love him.
Exactly. But it was just really, really fun. You get like, the premise is you're taking off, and you get stopped either by Darth Vader or an Imperial Patrol, and because they have located a rebel spy on the transport. And what they have done is during, you know, the setup and the little spiel given by the worker there, they've taken a picture of someone in the transport, usually, you know, a kid mostly, and they'll put that up on the screen. And this is the rebel spy, and you know that shocks everybody. You know, so people not expecting it's like, oh my gosh, I'm the rebel spy. You know, it's really fun. And then you have to escape. R2 is, you know, up on the droid socket up top, and he has to fly out, and you escape, and you go off on, you know, one planet, and you escape the planet, and you get a transmission either from Admiral Akbar, Yoda, or Princess Leia. And then you have to go to another planet. And then you end up making it to safety at the end of that. Which is, and I have to say, I believe Frank Oz does the voice of Yoda for this. And it's the computer model that they use for Yoda is probably right out of Revenge of the Sith. So it's really, really good. Princess Leia, the way that they digitally did that to make it look and sound like her was fantastic. And Admiral Akbar is obviously easier to do because you just need a man in a suit and, you know, someone who can get the voice down.
That's a trap! That's a trap!
But he doesn't say that, which I was slightly disappointed. But I think the most memorable ending that I had was like my third time writing it. I wrote it 3 times. But I have to say, if you're prone to motion sickness, space out the times you ride it. Because coming back to the hotel afterwards, even an elevator was just like, oh. Going up and down an elevator was just like, oh dear. But anyways, the most surprising ending was we go on Naboo. We start off in the skies, and there's a space, like a sky battle going on between droid starfighters and Naboo starfighters. And then you get hit, and you like fall into this big lake. And you like go down through the planet's core, you dodge monsters and stuff, and then you get shoot up out of the core, and you're heading towards like a ramp that leads right into the Theed hangar, and you're like skipping across the water, and then you hit the ramp and you start sliding across the floor, and because of the 3D it looks so real, but you like hit the tail of a Naboo starfighter, and the tail comes through your window, and a pit droid who's working on it like starts getting angry at you, and then like falls off the tail, and it looks like he falls into the ship on the other side of the divider that C-3PO is sitting behind. So that was really impressive, I have to say, just the fact that how real that whole crashing into the back of the ship and the pit droid falling into the ship looked. So it was pretty amazing. If you ever have a chance to go on that, I would recommend it.
Yeah, I just pretended to... Man, I can't believe I didn't go.
Well, there's a little thing called finances that you have to watch.
That's true.
And I almost wasn't able to go, but thanks to some generous parents, I managed to have enough money to get a ticket. So
thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Hunt.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no, that sounds awesome. I mean, I will take Star Tours before the day I die. I can at least say that.
Oh yes, I will drag you there if you're in a wheelchair. And even though they won't recommend you going on, I will say he's going on this.
Listen, he has to.
He has to. This is his dying wish. This is his final wish. He can die in peace after this. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
I know. Actually, my cousin and his fiance are getting married in October, and they're going down to Orlando for their honeymoon. And they both told me that their first thing they're doing is Star Tours. And I was like, good for you. So,
Orlando's awesome. Disney World is awesome. I won't get into that.
Sure.
But anyways.
So yeah, that was Thursday. Friday. What do we do Friday? We started off with a continental breakfast. Okay, continue.
Yes. continental breakfast. But I started off going to the Vocal Stars of Clone Wars panel, which was on the main stage. And it was just a lot of fun. James Arnold Taylor obviously was there because he's the host of that. And he was interviewing Matt Lanter, who plays Anakin, Ashley Eckstein, who plays Ahsoka, Tom Kane, the voice of Yoda, the narrator, and Admiral Yularen, and then Dee Bradley Baker, who does all the clones. And it was just a really entertaining panel because they give like some inside stories on some of it. They took questions from the audience, and they talked about some of their other work outside of Star Wars. It was really funny because James Arnold Taylor and Matt Lanter started talking about how they've both done Spider-Man cartoons. And James was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I did Spider-Man cartoon once. I was Harry Osborn. Who do you play, Matt? And Matt just sort of looks at James and says, Harry Osborn. And it just, they had an awkward moment, and James says, D, switch spots with me. And so James went to the opposite side of the stage. because Matt and James were sitting on the same couch. It was funny. It was just really funny because obviously different incarnations of the show, like different TV shows, different Spider-Man shows, but they played the same character. And, you know, it happens in voice acting. You know, somebody plays one character for one show and then they reboot the show and they get a totally new cast of actors and things like that. And so it's like, oh. But it was funny. And then at the end of these... the main stage shows, James does what they have is the phony photo memory, which apparently from Ian McDiarmid had James laying on the couch with Ian McDiarmid like electrocuting him. And apparently somebody has taken that online, put that online and actually inserted the lightning.
That's great.
So I need to find that picture.
Yeah.
But for the Clone Wars, they had like a couple of different funny things. Tom Kane, who's like 6'4", got down on his knees to be Yoda. Dee Bradley Baker was standing on the couch, you know, like a superhero or something. And then they had a couple of other different poses, one of them being Ashley Eckstein about to lop off James's head and then stabbing Matt Lanter with a lightsaber that a fan graciously let her use for the photo memories. It was really funny. And one of the things that we found out about from the panel is that one time after like everyone else had gone back home after a recording session, Matt and Ashley Eckstein were called to stay behind and record a section of dialogue between Anakin and Ahsoka that nobody else on stage knew about. So that could be very interesting.
Oh, something for season 5?
Yes.
What?
Yes. So we're... little apprehensive there. I'm hoping. I really hope Ahsoka doesn't die. But anyway.
Oh, she won't.
I highly doubt it. That's not my theory, but I really hope they don't kill her off.
Yeah.
Anywho.
We do have some theories that we spoke a lot about with Mike and Steve and both Bethany and Riley, but we'll save those for the next show when they're on here to talk about their thoughts, and we'll go back and forth when we've got them on.
Oh, yes.
But, yeah, I did not go to this, although I wish I had. I was going to go to this Star Wars music trivia. You guys obviously know how much Jason and I enjoys trivia, and I love the Star Wars music. The trivia game was basically they were going to play Star Wars music, and you had to guess what scene it was from and which movie. Like, I was, as soon as I read that in the panel list, I was like, oh, I'm going to own this. But on my way to it, a friend of ours, J.C. Cox, who's done a lot with Frontlines as well, he's part of the 501st Legion. He called me up, and he just said, hey, can you help me get into my Jedi costume? I can't do the belt because I need somebody behind me. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. So I went over to his hotel room. By the time we were done, I'd already missed the first 15 minutes or so, so I didn't bother. I didn't want to go interject myself into something that was already going on, so I didn't end up going. Yeah, that's okay, though. But then Friday evening was the Clone Wars premiere, which amazing. I mean, it was awesome. Because that's it for the Friday. Because during the day, I think we just kind of hung out, went around the exhibits again. But one brief thing I do want to say about the exhibits, and this is actually my favorite part, believe it or not, of C6, was actually the exhibitor floor, just because of all of the props, the life-size movie props that they had that you could take pictures in and stuff. I mean, again, if look on our Facebook page, you'll see that I've posted my pictures. I'm sure Jason will put his up soon, too.
Yes.
You had the Millennium Falcon hold, you had a life-size back-to-tank, and the entire little hospital scene from Empire Strikes Back set up. You had a full-size T-47 snow speeder we took our picture in, a full-size speeder bike and bunker from Return of the Jedi. Like we said, the life-size Rancor, they had a little section that was just basically a part of the Lars homestead, a moisture farm. You had the full Jabba's palace courtroom with his dais, and then the Max Rebo band. I mean, this stuff was just awesome. I mean, it was awesome for photo ops, and
saw, there was a section of Echo Base with a Wampa in it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, how did I forget?
I don't know. We interviewed him. He didn't much to say.
He didn't. He really didn't. He was a bit. He stood there like a statue. It was kind of annoying.
It was a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
I was hoping to get some awesome sound bites for you guys, but that didn't happen.
No. Yeah, no cigar. But then right behind the Echo Base setup, they had a small little section of the Cantina Bar, which, if you guys remember, I said months ago when we were recording one of our first episodes how I would love for them to do the Cantina Bar at C6. I think they heard me. So that's all I'm saying. But that was the filler of each of our days, just going around the exhibit hall. It was just so cool to see that stuff.
Yes.
So, but anyway, back to the season 5 premiere. How much detail do we want to go into?
I don't want to go into too much because we'll talk about it later, but I don't want to give away like primary story points either. Let's just say the premiere itself consisted of 3 episodes played back-to-back-to-back. The final 2 episodes of Season 4, Brothers and Revenge, and then the first episode of Season 5, which you guys will see September 29th, which is a Saturday at 9 a.m. Because Cartoon Network is moving their action block to Saturday mornings.
Isn't it 9:30?
9:30, yes, 9:30. Yeah. My mistake.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, and it was, let's just say it was awesome. It picked up with the Darth Maul storyline and had an awesome appearance by Hondo Ohnaka. And that's really all I want to talk about it right now. If you want to say some things about it, go ahead.
Jason, it was awesome. You know, like Jason just said, you know, they played the last 2 episodes and then they went right into the season premiere of season 5, and you know, it's basically one big story arc right there. And what I like with what they've been doing, especially at the end of season 4 and now right at the beginning of season 5, is it's become much darker. I mean, the Darth Maul character and Savage are, you know, they're very dark. I mean, Count Dooku's obviously, you know, he's a bad guy and Darth Sidious is a bad guy, but it's almost like we're so familiar with them that, you know, we see them as the bad guy, but we don't necessarily see them as, like, you know, evil and scary. Darth Maul and Savage, and especially in the season 5 premiere, are kind of frightening, and it's really cool. Not frightening like, oh, hide your kids, but it's a very different feel for the Clone Wars, and I think it's really cool. It's a little bit more mature feel, but they do a great counter to that by bringing Hondo Anaka in. He's hilarious, but it's not like, it doesn't offset the seriousness of it. It actually, it helps kind of stymie it a bit, and he's so funny. Yes. And we learned how well Jason can do his voice while we were there. I was making Jason do voices like all weekend, and luckily he obliged. So,
I would do some, but I'm feeling a little froggy right now, so a little under the weather. Otherwise, I would be doing Hondo right now. But
no problem. But so that episode, and like Jason said, I won't go into any more detail, but it was awesome. And then, but the surprise came.
After a Q&A with Dave Filoni and some of the actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he brought up, because it was cool, all the actors actually sat in the crowd kind of with everybody else, which was really neat. Initially, the only
people... It's the first time they had all seen it, so...
Right. And they watched it just like we did. I'm proud to say we were allowed to sit in the front two rows because we were VIP reserved. We were all very proud of that. And we also were joined by Bethany and Riley Blanton and Aaron Goins from Star Wars Report. So that was a lot of fun to watch that with friends. The episode was great. And then Dave Filoni gave us a surprise at the end.
A
new trailer for season 5. And for those of you who have not seen it, go to our Facebook page. We've put the link to it. It's on Entertainment Weekly's website. You can probably find it on the Force Cast. It is going to blow your mind.
Yes. It's now up on StarWars.com as well.
Okay.
So, all I'm going to say is Darth Sidious.
Oh, yes. People were going nuts. Jason had no voice.
I was like, I screamed out like uncontrollably. I was just like, ah! It was amazing. So just with that whole atmosphere of everybody in the room, you just can't help yourself sometimes. It was just amazing to watch.
And there's nothing like watching Star Wars with Star Wars fans. I mean, it's awesome. Yeah, so if you have not seen that trailer, make sure you do, because we will be talking about it in detail during the next episode. So we don't want to spoil anything for you, but like Jason said, two words, Darth Sidious. Amazing.
Yes. And then, right after that, we didn't think we would get in, but we managed to get into the Mark Hamill panel, where James Arnold Taylor...
That rhymes, the Mark Hamill panel.
The Mark Hamill panel, where James Arnold Taylor interviewed Mark Hamill. And it was an awesome panel, I have to say. He didn't actually talk a lot about Star Wars. He talked a lot about his other projects and things like that, which was fine and a lot of fun because, it was basically Mark and James talking shop because they're both, actors and voice actors. So, and the best part of the panel, in my opinion, was when Mark Hamill stood up, took center stage, and basically from memory... quoted the Joker's eulogy for Batman from the Batman animated TV series. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, like you said, the Mark Hamill panel. Sorry, I just like that name. It was so much fun to see Mark Hamill. And like Jason said, we didn't think we were going to get in because it was right after the season 5 premiere stuff, and the awesome thing was sitting in the front, but the bad thing about sitting at the front was everybody else got out before us. So we really didn't think we were going to get into the Mark Hamill panel because they said, oh, it's full, don't even try. But we just waited a little bit, and like I said, Steve Glosson worked some of his Geek Out Loud magic and got us in. And God, was it worth it. I mean, Mark Hamill is just, he's a funny guy. He seems very approachable, and like Jason said, for me, I was a little sad that he didn't talk more about Star Wars, but he's been at these things before, so, I mean, probably a lot of the fans have heard what he has to say, but he was just so entertaining anyway, and he has a new movie coming out, I think he said in February or January, a very different role for him. He's playing kind of like a sadistic bad guy.
Very sadistic and psychotic.
Yeah, but very different role for him, but... it looks like a really good movie, and it was just cool to see Mark Hamill in person. And like Jason mentioned before with Ian McDiarmid, they did another one of those photo ops, and James Arnold Taylor pretended he got up on the couch behind Mark Hamill and pretended to be Yoda, like riding on his back, and they were just making all these cute little faces and motioning. Like, they were just so funny together.
Oh, yeah.
It was really, really cool to see that. So that was Friday. And then Saturday, which was my last day there, I didn't, unfortunately, get to do anything Sunday. I had a really early flight on Sunday. But Saturday, we got
Night, one of the things we got to do after Mark Hamill was the group of us, Mike and Crystal, Kyle, Carl, myself, the Blantons, and Steve Lawson, we all got to go out to dinner afterwards and hang out. And that was a blast.
Oh, yeah.
That was a blast. But I just want to throw that out there because they're awesome people.
They are. They're wonderful people. And I think, you know, again, not to get too off topic here, but that is the coolest thing about C6 and probably all of these Star Wars type of events is...
Oh, yes.
It was a great time to not only make new friends, but really just, you know, make a real relationship. Like, these are people now I know. Just like when I met Jason at Fan Days back in October, it's like, okay, this is going to be a friend in my life now. Yeah, we're far apart, but we'll make this. You know, we're going to be friends. And I mean, Friday night probably was, although it had nothing directly to do with, you know, C6, it was probably one of the most exciting things we did all weekend, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it's about being with friends and just laughing. We were there for probably two and a half hours, you know, just eating dinner, having a great time, like laughing, getting to know each other better. I mean, it was so much fun. We had such a great time. So
it was great.
Yeah. And that's, it's so awesome that you have this. I was saying to a friend of mine when I got back to Boston that these Star Wars celebrations, they remind me of like a really good church experience, because they almost do a better job creating a sense of community than a lot of the churches I've been to over the years. I mean, because it's all these people that love something so much that they want to share that with each other. And again, I mean, I met Steve Lawson for the first time on Wednesday evening, and, you know, by Thursday night, he and I were, while those guys were off doing Star Tours, he and I went out and just kind of hung out on our own and got to know each other better. I mean, it was awesome. It was such a great experience. So, I mean, the Star Wars fan community really is exactly that. It's a community. It's about being together and just having fun. So, but anyway, yeah, that was Friday night. And then Saturday we got up and went right over for the Clone Wars panel.
The sneak peek panel.
Yeah, and they showed us some more clips from season 5, which were all awesome. And they replayed the trailer again. But the coolest thing about Saturday morning, and the biggest surprise of C6, of course, was the appearance of Mr. George Lucas. It was awesome. So awesome. No, right as we were walking into the panel, Bethany and Riley were saying to us, evidently George Lucas is here. And it was a little disappointing to hear that, because it kind of weathered that excitement a little bit, but still really cool. We're like, oh, cool, maybe we'll get to see him. And I'm going to let Jason describe how it happened, because he does a good job with that.
Yes. So the lights have gone out. They're playing a clip, which was awesome. I don't remember which clip it was off the top of my head, but the lights come back up, and the host of the digital stage where all the Clone Wars stuff was happening, David Collins, was not on stage. His seat was empty, and Dave Filoni and Joel Aaron were the only ones up on stage. And Dave Filoni starts talking about, you know, there's a lot of fans of the Clone Wars, but right now, you know, we want to just honor and bring up and recognize, you know, one of our biggest fans and biggest supporters of the Clone Wars. And here I'm like, no, it couldn't be. Could it? Is it? No. And he didn't even say the name. He just said, come on out. And then we were probably about 10 or 12 rows back from the front. And all of a sudden, the front couple of rows just jumps up and starts yelling and screaming and cheering. And then finally we're able to see on the screen there that it's George Lucas coming up on stage. And it was incredible. Everyone was just going nuts. There were chants of George. And Mr. Lucas stole Dave Filoni's hat for about a minute or so, which was funny, because he put it on backwards, I think, on purpose. But it was just great. And George talked about the Clone Wars for a little bit, and then they showed the trailer again at the very, very end, And Dave was like, okay, George, here's something that not even you have seen. And he's like, really? What is this? That's the new trailer. Oh, okay.
yeah.
But it was just fantastic. Just to be in the same room as the Maker, you know. It was great.
Yeah.
It was very awesome. I'm at a loss for words.
Right. And yeah, like Jason said, like when he came out, you saw like the people in the front rows there kind of standing up and like a little bit of cheering, but we couldn't see anything, but even though we kind of knew who it was, but once you saw him walk right up onto that stage, I mean, the whole place just erupted. And it was so cool. And
the flannel is unmistakable.
Oh yes. Yes. The flanneled one was in the room. And you know, the banter between he and Dave Filoni too, like, it appears like they're really good friends, which is really cool, which is why they can probably make such good stories. And, you know, George Lucas did talk about why he brings Darth Maul back. He talked a little bit about some of, you know, his reasoning behind why he wanted to make the Clone Wars. I'm pretty sure somebody asked him. Maybe it wasn't this panel, but I thought so. Somebody asked, you know, why did you... were you always thinking about doing the Clone Wars? And he essentially says, well, you know, no, not initially, not when I made the films early on. Like, I didn't think this was going to happen, but now that I realized I had the resources and I could do this, I figured why not expand and explore different aspects of our story here, which I think is really cool. You know, I mean, he's got this huge fan base. Yeah, the six films are incredible, but why not tell us more stories, you know? And it helps flush everything else out, too. But just seeing, like Jason said, just being in the same room as George Lucas was electrifying. It was so cool. So, yeah, I mean, like they say in Greece, I had chills, they were multiplying. okay, sorry. I was going to sing it, but my John Travolta isn't that good.
That's fine.
so, yeah, that was, I mean, that just, it blew our minds. It blew our minds in so many aspects because we saw these really cool clips from season 5. Again, just the advancements in the technology is just incredible. But even more than that, what we see, when you see George Lucas walk out, that blows you away. Then you see that awesome trailer again, which blows you away again. I mean, the fact that we were able to walk out of there was incredible because we were just so blown away. It was such a treat. It was really cool.
And for those of you wondering, basically his answer for bringing Darth Maul back was, I really like the character and I wanted him to come back.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
There you go. There was no real rhyme or reason. He just wanted to bring him back. So, you know, take that as you will, but I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And after that, I mean, I know I've said it on previous shows, you know, I was very much against the return of Darth Maul, but I wouldn't say I'm crazy about it now, but I'm definitely fine with it now. After hearing George Lucas clarify it, hearing Dave Filoni talk a little bit about it, it's like, you know what? It's there. Like, why combat it? Why whine about it? Enjoy it. And really, especially with what they did with him at the beginning of season 5, I mean, I love that he's back because they've done something with his character that they can't do with Count Dooku. So, I mean, he is the bad guy in a way that Count Dooku can be. And I really appreciate that. So, but you'll have to wait till September 29th. Suckers! Just kidding.
After that, we tried to get into the super secret Star Wars panel,
right?
Which was Seth Green's panel on his new Star Wars Detours show that should be coming out probably in the next couple of years. That line, simply because the rumors of George Lucas floating around and the speculation that he was going to be there, which I believe he ended up...
He did.
He ended up going to that panel, filled the line. And we walked in, trying to find seats, and got to see, like, the first 5 minutes or so of the panel, but standing in the aisles, in the balcony, was just not happening. So they had to shuffle us and a bunch of other people back outside. It was disappointing, but we saw the trailer, which looks really funny.
And if you like Robot Chicken, Detours will probably be right up your alley.
Yes, it's not quite as crass as Robot Chicken. It's more for, a broader audience, maybe a slightly younger audience, but not like little kid. It's really funny stuff, though, and they have the trailer and I believe like six clips from the show on StarWars.com already. So I would highly recommend you go check those out because they're really funny. So, and just before anybody gets all hyped up and crazified, this has nothing to do with canon. It's completely separate.
Right.
It's just a fun what if, you know, type of thing. So don't freak out.
Yeah.
I think Seth Green joked around about it being canon, and people took that as gospel when obviously he was joking. So, but yeah, no, nothing to do with canon, just a lot of fun Star Wars humor. So,
yeah.
I can't wait for it to come out.
Yeah, I think that's really all it's supposed to be. It's just meant to be a comedic outtake on why we love Star Wars. So it looks really, really good. So definitely be sure to check those clips out. They're all up on StarWars.com. So, but yeah, it was unfortunate we couldn't stick around for the rest of the panel. Seth Green is hilarious to begin with. I would have loved to hear him.
And he's even shorter than James Arnold Taylor.
Oh, yeah. He's a little guy.
A leprechaun.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously seeing George Lucas again would have been pretty sweet. But, you know, that's life. And then,
one of the interesting things that we found out in the first couple minutes of the panel was that Seth Green was like, we weren't even supposed to have stuff ready for Celebration 6, but George Lucas said that we had to have something for Celebration 6 to show the fans and everything. So whatever you want to say against George Lucas and stuff, he made that panel happen.
Yeah.
And we're all very grateful and excited about it. So,
I mean, George Lucas really cares about the fan community, which is huge. So, Saturday, what else do we do? Nothing again until the evening, right?
Yeah, we sort of spent the day just sort of hanging around and not a lot of stuff. After that, we ended up going and getting lunch. I think we met up with some of the other guys a couple times and went
ambled
around. Found a few things and meandered around some. So
yeah. But then Saturday evening, of course, was...
One of the things you and I did that afternoon was we went and located Lord Ruticus at the Dark Empire booth, which was fun to see him because he's been on our show a couple times. So it was really nice to see him, and he was part of a panel for like the Star Wars costuming groups, and we were going to try and make that, but it ended up running into... when we had to go get in line for this other panel that we're going to talk about in a second. But it was really nice to see Joe and take some pictures and say hello and everything. He was kind of busy.
He was.
Taking pictures with everybody. He was in his Lord Ruticus outfit.
Yes. And they had a really cool backdrop. I think, what temple was that?
A concept painting of a Sith temple, I believe, on Korriban.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and it looked fantastic.
It looked awesome, yeah.
It was probably like 8 feet tall and like 16 or 12 or 16 feet wide. It was impressive.
Yeah.
It had an awesome backdrop to take pictures in front of. And they had like a sand-colored cloth bunched up on the bottom and stuff like that. So it didn't look like you were standing on concrete and then had this awesome backdrop behind it. But yeah, it was really good. Some of the costumes there were very impressive, one of which being a Morris Brood from the Force Unleashed game, who apparently had just joined the group like earlier that day. So I just have to say that the costumes in the Dark Empire are very impressive. So,
oh yes, yeah,
impressive, most impressive.
Yeah, and costumes in general at C6 were really cool. There was a lot of really cool costumes. Yes. Jason was on Saturday as well. Jason was Jedi on vacation. That was his costume.
Friday,
excuse me. That's right.
Yes, Friday.
So,
a Jedi robe that I had made, and I was, you know, my shorts and t-shirt and my Jedi robe. Yes, I was on vacation.
Yes, and Jason coined it. He goes, I am a Jedi on vacation. I was like, that's perfect. So, but yeah, and then the reason, like Jason was saying, unfortunately we couldn't get to the panel that Lord Bruticus was help hosting. Because we had to go get in line for the Talking About Myself, which was James Arnold Taylor's. He kept plugging it the first two nights, which was actually really funny. He basically just kind of told how he got into voice acting. He gave us a great show doing lots of different voices, a lot of different techniques that go into voice acting. I know you were really excited about this event, Jason, because you really want to do voice acting. I enjoyed it for its comedic outtake, because James Arnold Taylor was really funny.
Oh, yeah.
And he
did, like,
Go ahead.
I think he did like 200 plus voices in this hour long presentation.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool because he kind of gave you a little bit of this, here's how I got to be where I'm at type of thing, which is kind of cool. It gives you a little bit of biography. It gives you a sense of, you know, what it's like to be a voice actor. But, you know, he really, you know, revved up the entertainment value by doing all these different voices. And, you know, I'm sure you might want to say more than this, Jason, so I'll finish here. But I love the way he ended it. He basically just, he was talking about how, you know, all these voices you can create are very similar to each other. So there's basically this big picture graph on the big screen behind him of all these different actors, and he would do their voices and then go to another voice. I mean, he must have done, jeepers, 70 voices, like that last 5 minutes or so. And it was...
At the very minimum.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome, and it was really funny, too. But, I don't know, you might want to say more about it.
Yeah, that section of his show has got to be my favorite. I mean, I'm sure we've all seen that online before. This one was expanded. It had even more voices than the ones I've seen online. And it's just awesome to see him do it in person. He starts with his normal voice. He goes, let's just start with my normal voice. And then he pauses and, normal voice, which one's that? So... he tries to find his normal voice, and he goes, oh, okay, well, we'll start right about here. And then he just sort of, like, how the voices connect and intertwine, and it's like, you know, it goes from here to here. You add this, you take away that, you do this, and, you know. And it's just incredible, because he, you know, not only does he, you know, sometimes just go into the character, the actor or character's voices, but sometimes he'll add, like, a little quip of theirs, you know, to make it funny or things like that, and it's just incredible. It's like a five-minute segment, and he goes through, it's between 70 and 150 voices, I'm sure, something like that. It's just incredible, the ability that he has to do that. I mean, obviously not all of them are pitch perfect, but he gets the point across, and it's really, really funny and really good. So yeah, I was very thrilled just to be able to see that. So
yeah, it was really, really cool. And then that ran right into the Carrie Fisher panel, but Jason and I skipped out on that. The reason I skipped out was I was going to be leaving early Sunday. I wasn't going to be able to go over again. And the one thing I really wanted to try to get while I was at C6 was some type of wampa to put on my desk here at home. And I was having a lot of trouble finding something, but I just wanted something to buy that was something I could hold on to. So I decided, all right, well, supposedly the exhibit hall was going to be open every day till 8 o'clock at night. So Carrie Fisher was going to start around 7:30, so I just cut out a little bit early. And Jason, being the faithful counterpart that he is, came along with me. And we get down to the exhibit hall, but they had closed it up early, so I wasn't able to go in, which was fine because they were playing Empire Strikes Back on the digital screen, which, again, is basically a movie screen. And you know, I haven't seen Empire Strikes Back on the big screen since 97. So we watched pretty much just like the first half hour or so. We watched up through the Battle of Hoth. And again, it was really what I really liked. Well, again, it's Empire Strikes Back on a big screen, so thank you, God. But it was, again, really cool. Just there was a lot of people there watching it because, you know, again, collectively, it's probably the favorite Star Wars film. But it was cool to watch it with all these Star Wars fans, because people are laughing at some of the, you know, the quips between Han and Chewie there at the beginning. People are cheering when certain characters show up. I mean, it was just really cool to watch it in the company of all those Star Wars fans. I thought that was really neat. So,
yeah, it was. And then afterwards, we ran into Steve Glosson again. And got to talk with him for a little while before everybody else came out. After Carrie Fisher, and apparently it was a great panel.
Yeah.
And phony photo memory ended up being Carrie sitting on the couch with James, like, bent over her knee, and she was spanking him. and apparently somebody had asked her if George Lucas ever did make 7, 8, 9, would she be interested, and she sort of gave a yeah response, you know, like a duh, of course, response. So, which makes us all very excited if George Lucas ever does decide. And Mark Hamill was basically the same way. He was like, if I'm given the opportunity to be part of this again, I'll jump on it.
Yeah.
And somebody had asked Mark, backtracking here a second, if he would want to be on the Clone Wars. And he goes, I would love to. They just haven't asked me. Yeah.
So hopefully, and, hopefully we might end up hearing him on the. That'd be awesome to hear him on the Clone Wars.
Yeah, and apparently at the there was a press conference, a Clone Wars press conference, about 1 o'clock on Saturday, and somebody asked Dave Filoni about that, and he was like, "Well, we really want to get Mark Hamill on the show, but I want to give him a good character. We've had a couple characters that we've thought about, but it just it didn't mesh up." You know, he's like, "I want to give him a good character that's you know, not there for just one episode and has some significance." So, hopefully, if there's another significant new character coming into the Clone Wars, we will see Mark Hamill voicing him in season 6 or 7. So,
yeah, that'd be awesome. So, but then Saturday night was, again, my last night there. So we had this unofficial after party front line. Wait, what did Mike call it again?
Called it the unofficial front lines, the Clone Wars podcast, Celebration 6 after party, I believe.
That's right. Yeah.
And basically, the group that went out to dinner the night before got together in Mike and Crystal's suite because they got upgraded due to ant issues.
Yeah.
Yes. So we just hung out and talked for, it must have been about 2 hours before, you know, you and me and Kyle had to leave.
Yeah, and that was, again, it was a great way to end the event for me. Again, obviously, Jason, you obviously have a few things to say about Sunday, but it was a great way to end it because it was just with the people that I had spent the last couple of days with for most of the part, and we just sat around talking Star Wars, talking about our lives. Like, it was just great. I mean, it was such a feeling of community. And you know, as soon as I got to the airport Sunday morning, which was really early and I was exhausted, but as soon as you get in that airport, you're just like, man, this is over. And it's just such a sad feeling. I mean, I'm sure everybody who went to C6 felt that in some way when they had to leave, because it's just such a once-in-a-lifetime type event. Well, not once-in-a-lifetime, but you know, once in a twin sunset time, you know, that you get to do stuff like this. And it's really fortunate that I was able to, and so many other people were able to do this. I mean, it's such a treat and so much fun. So spending the evening with them was a great time. And without going into too much detail, because we'll have to get Steve and Mike to talk about this a bit when they come on, but we were speculating as to what the big announcement was going to be on Sunday that they were promising. And I said to Jason, I was like, you have to call me as soon as you find out. I need to know. Because Steve was arguing pretty strongly for, he really thought George Lucas might announce making 7, 8, and 9. And as much as I knew that this can't be true, I wanted to believe it so much. And Jason was so excited about it.
I was like, Steve is waxing eloquent about this prediction, somebody points over to me and says, Jason is like melting over there. And I literally was. I was just like, oh my gosh, this would be amazing. You have so many good points for this. Oh my gosh, what if it's actually happening? Unfortunately, that was not the announcement, but we'll get into that here in a minute.
Yeah, well, I'm done. I mean, I unfortunately wasn't able to be there for Sunday, so.
Yeah, Sunday, it was a little bittersweet because my partner in crime here, Carl, was not there. And everything, you know, there was a lot less people on Sunday. Sunday usually is pretty empty, comparatively speaking. But we started the day going off to the Why We Love the Prequels panel, and I don't remember all the people on the panel, but they included Kyle Newman from Fanboys and Tom Hodges, who's an artist for Lucasfilm. And that was hosted by Pablo Hidalgo, who I believe is in charge of the archives there at Lucasfilm. I could be mistaken about that. But they were talking about why the prequels are good and why they're necessary and why we should like them and appreciate them. And then they opened it up for questions afterwards. And I ended up jumping up to to ask a question. Unfortunately, I jumped up too late and was not able to ask my question. Because they had to clear the room for another panel afterwards. But just for those of you who were curious, my question was going to be, why do you think, in your own words, Jar Jar is an essential part of the prequels? why he's needed in the prequels? And Mike told me that Kyle Newman would have launched into some sort of in-depth discussion, and, you know, given me a real solid answer for that. So I was like, man, I really wish I'd been able to get my question asked. But twas not to be. Next time. Next year. Or next celebration. And then after that, let me see. What did I do? Kyle and I went back to the exhibit floor, got some pictures that we hadn't gotten yet. And then we went into the Sam Witwer panel, which was very entertaining. Sam Witwer being interviewed by David Collins. When they started the fan questions and stuff like that, Mike, Crystal, and I ducked out to get in line for the closing ceremonies. Kyle stayed in and actually got a question, got to ask Sam Witwer a question, I believe. I don't remember what it was. But then we went into the closing ceremonies. Everybody was given 3D glasses, so you can already see where this is going. Basically, they had sort of a little retrospective. You know, this was some of the highlights from Celebration 6. We're really glad you came. All the hosts, James Arnold Taylor, Pablo Hidalgo, and David Collins were hosting it. And then they announced that next year, next July, there will be Star Wars Celebration Europe 2 in Germany. So for those European fans and people like Jazz, who lives in Norway, that's a lot closer to go to Star Wars Celebration than Orlando. So that was pretty cool. Not that I will be going to that.
Yeah, I wish I could, but I shall not.
No. But hopefully we'll get Celebration 7 the year after. Then the big announcement was they had... on Saturday, they had had a series of panels where they were talking about 3D, Star Wars in 3D, and it included a sneak peek of Episode 2 in 3D. Well, they, as they were setting up for that, you know, James Hunter Taylor was like, well, here, I'll wave my hand. You know, he's going to do the Force Jedi mind trick. He's going to get the the Episode 2 3D preview up there, and Mary Franklin, excuse me, of Lucasfilm was who they had brought up to announce the Celebration Europe, said, if you do it really hard, you might get Episode 3, which was a shock to even James Arnold Taylor. So he waves his hand, the lights go out. We get the, like, 5 minutes almost of Attack of the Clones, which looked amazing. And then that went right into about a 40-45 second piece of the long opening shot from Revenge of the Sith, which looked fantastic.
That's awesome.
The big announcement is that Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith are going to be coming out consecutively. September, I want to say September 20th, and then October 10th. Unfortunately, the kicker is that's all 2013.
Yeah. So that's cool news that they're coming out so quickly, but I was really hoping Episode 2 would come out in February again. Like, now we got to wait a while.
Yeah.
And it's still over a year away, which kind of stinks, but, you know, that's life.
Hopefully that means, though, that A New Hope will be coming out February 2014. So, hopefully that's what that will be. So,
absolutely. So there you go. That was our experience of C6 and a summarized version, of course. Like we said, we're gonna hopefully record something either over this weekend or some point next week, with hopefully a couple of guests who are also, you know, with us at C6, and talk a little bit more about, you know, more detail about what we did and, you know, things of that nature. But real quick before we sign off.
And maybe some of the other news that we didn't see personally.
Right.
But that came out too. So.
Right. But real quick before we go, Jason, I'm just curious, what was your favorite thing about C6?
The people. I'm not even going to think about that. It was just the people hanging out with you guys and just the experience of doing it all together. Because you can go to these things, you have a great time, you know, seeing all this stuff, getting autographs, you know, hitting the exhibit floor and all that fun stuff. But it just makes it so much better when you get to do it with people. And just the family camaraderie there that you get when you go to Celebration 6 with people that you know is just fantastic. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Same. I was going to say the same thing. You know, it's just the people we, the new friends we made, the deepening of the friendships, you know, with you, with the other people we were there with, that we've met before at Fan Days. It was such a treat to do this stuff with other Star Wars fans. Obviously, is great. I mean, even if I'd gone to this with some of my close friends who don't like Star Wars, you know, it wouldn't have been the same as going it with you guys. I mean, it was just so much fun. And I cannot wait for C7. And I mean, hopefully we get a Fan Days between now and then too. I mean, I would love to do another Fan Days.
Yeah, so, that would be fun.
But anyway, so yeah, there you go. That's kind of our brief wrap up of what we were up to at C6. If you want to stick around, we're actually going to be starting the Empire Strikes Back radio drama today, because the last episode we finished up the New Hope radio drama. So hopefully you're enjoying those. So we'll start Empire today. And also, before we go, we just want to remind you about our lightsaber matchup. Obviously, we didn't do it today because we were doing kind of a quicker episode, but we'll talk more about that and whatnot during the next episode. And we've gotten, I think, a couple responses, but we haven't really put much up about it yet. So, Jason, you want to just remind them what the lightsaber matchup is?
All right. And in keeping with sort of the fun atmosphere that came from Celebration 6, our lightsaber matchup is who would win in a lightsaber duel between George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. So, especially after this past weekend, my decision may be a lot more certain. So...
Yeah, me too. So be sure to, you know, let us know what you think about that matchup. Be sure to let us know what you think about the show in general. You know, we still love hearing from people and hearing what they think. I'm going to ask just real quickly one more time, if you get a second, if you download us through iTunes, if you could just take 2 minutes, heck, 1 minute, and just write up a really quick review on iTunes, we'd really appreciate it. Again, it helps us move further up into the queue in the iTunes store. Which would make us easier to find for people looking for Star Wars podcasts. That's something we would love for you to do. And any of you that want to communicate with us, again, you can find us on Facebook at Wampa's Lair Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Wampa's Lair. And certainly email us at wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com. So there you have it.
All right. And everyone, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Wampa's Lair Podcast. This has been episode number 28. Our Celebration 6 wrap-up sort of thing. I'm Jason, and for Carl, we will see you next time as we dive deeper into Celebration 6 in the Wampa's Lair.
Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back by Brian Daley. Based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. Episode 1, Freedom's Winter. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there came a time of revolution, when rebels united to challenge a tyrannical empire. Now it is a dark time for the rebellion. Evading the dreaded Imperial Starfleet, a group of freedom fighters, led by Luke Skywalker, has established a secret base on the remote ice world of Hoth. But the evil Lord Darth Vader, obsessed with finding young Skywalker, has dispatched thousands of probe droids into the far reaches of space. Now, a small space convoy of rebel transport ships and snub fighter escorts is en route for Hoth, seeking to bring desperately needed supplies and reinforcements to the rebel base.
Renegade Flight, this is Renegade Leader. I'm getting interference on my sensors. This might be Imperial jamming, so maintain close visual scanning. Renegade 4, stay closer to your transport ship.
I copy, boss.
Transport ships, keep close together. We go into hyperspace as soon as we're out of Dera 4's gravity field. Fighters, stick close to the convoy and keep your eyes open. All of you.
Renegade Leader, this is Renegade 7. Boss, I have a visual sighting, a number of small spacecraft coming at high velocity from Sector 4.
Can you identify them?
They're moving awfully fast. Imperial TIE Fighters, must be 20 of them.
Renegade Flight, this is Renegade Leader. Prepare to engage the TIE Fighters. Transport ships go into hyperdrive as soon
as
you're clear.
This is Renegade 3, boss. There's another bunch of them dead ahead on our course. They're breaking for attack.
This is Renegade 2, more TIEs approaching from Sector 8.
They're all over the place. Here they come.
Renegade 3, 4, 5, and 6, get up and clear the way for the transports. The rest of you protect the convoy. Transports run for it. Maximum acceleration. All right, Renegade Flight.
Hit him.
Watch it, Renegade 2.
I see him.
On your tail, Renegade 7. Scissor right. Scissor right.
Here I come. Get him off me. Boss, we can't stop them. There are too many.
Boss, they just got Ketku.
Protect the transports. The transports have to get through.
Boss, they're all over us. They just got transport number 2.
I'm hit. Lock both port side engines.
Keep going.
This is Renegade 3. There are 4 TIE fighters on me. Help me, somebody. I can't shake them.
Renegade 3.
Gone, boss.
No way out. They're all around us.
Only transport just blew.
Boss, there's a bunch of them headed for you.
Try to make a run for it, all ships. This is Commander Nera. Break contact and escape if you can. Break contact and run for it.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Sir, Imperial Headquarters reports that a rebel convoy has been completely destroyed near Dera 4.
At least someone is seeing a little action. Let's hope that we do before the rebellion is completely obliterated. What is the status of our probe droid operation?
The probe droids we've launched so far report no rebel activity. No human activity, for that matter, on any of the planets they've reconnoitered.
And the next launch group?
All the probes are targeted and ready to go. The ship is now in position. Shall I give the order to launch?
No, Lieutenant. I just received priority signal from Lord Vader's flagship. We have new information to program into the probe's data banks and sensors.
That could delay the launch for some time, Captain Nita. May I ask what the new information is?
It seems that Lord Vader is more eager than ever to locate this Skywalker. He has also placed great emphasis on discovering the whereabouts of a starship called the Millennium Falcon.
I'll have the new material programmed into the probes immediately, sir.
Very good.
Even though air defense is vital to the security of this base, operating conditions here on Hoth are so severe that we simply can't use our speeders without modifications. But the techs have assured me that they can have the speeders adapted, ready to operate here on Hoth within another day at the most, Princess Leia.
And the base defenses?
Nearly complete. At least as complete a defensive and offensive system as we can manage right now.
Yes.
Lieutenant Commander Skywalker and the others have practically all the sensors in place for a regional warning network. As time allows, we can expand it.
How do we stand in cold weather clothing and other gear?
We've managed to procure or improvise enough for everyone in the base, General Riken. And so, Your Highness, gentlemen, that's our current status.
Well, we're short of just about everything, including sleep. But we've almost completed drilling of the ice caverns, and the base is close to completion. When the convoy arrives, we'll be in far better shape. Is there anything else, gentlemen?
Negative.
Your Highness, have you anything to add?
Just one thing, General Riken. I think that everyone in Hoth Base is bearing up as bravely now as they ever did in battle.
Thank you.
I hope that all of you here will pass that along for me.
Our next staff meeting will be at the same time tomorrow. We all have a great deal to accomplish by then. Dismissed.
They're all worried, even though they're trying not to let it show.
Well, they know that there's a lot to be done yet. And this base is the Rebellion's best chance to regroup and reorganize. Maybe it's last.
General Riken, urgent message for you, sir. They're decoding it now.
Pardon me, Your Highness. I'll be right back.
I'll speak to you later, General Riken. I have to make certain that the new recognition codes are ready over in the cryptographic section.
Leia, hey, wait up.
Hello, Luke.
Glad I caught you. I was wondering how you were getting along. I haven't seen much of you lately.
Well, we're trying to pull things back together. Everyone's been so busy.
Yeah, me too. That's why I told 3PO and R2 to stay close to you. You know, help out when they could.
You told them to help me?
Well, they're glad to do it. I mean, they used to belong to my uncle, but they sort of belong with us both now.
I guess so.
Leia, I'm not due to go back outside for a while yet.
Hey, is this a staff conference?
I was wondering if you had a little time.
Well,
maybe
Luke, I really have to see you about some things.
Hey, Luke!
Oh, hello, Han. Hi, Chewie.
Where'd the general go?
Well, he was headed over to the communications.
Ah, never mind. Her overwhelmingly highnessness here will do.
Now what, Han?
Have me and Chewie been pulling our weight around here or not?
Han, what's wrong with you? Nobody ever said that you and Chewbacca
were... Look, when the Millennium Falcon got shot up that last time around, I knew I'd have to wait in line for repairs, but they got the base's defensive generators in place now. Yeah, and like Chewie says, you know, the trenches and gun emplacements are all set up, too.
They still have to make sure the energy field is working and adapt the snow speeders to conditions on Hoth. Those just take priority right now, even over the Falcon.
Look, I need a starship that works. I got her messed up helping you guys. Is this what you get for helping a rebel?
Aren't you a rebel, Han? Or do you and Chewbacca still consider yourselves independent operators?
Han, most of the techs are dead on their feet, and they still can't keep up with all the work that has to be finished. I mean, before the base can be operational.
Luke, me and the Wookiee would have had the Falcon fixed already by ourselves, except that I've been riding all over this snowball with you, pal, and those stupid, smelly, ornery tauntauns.
Those warning sensors have to be set in place, and you and Luke are the best riders we have.
I've heard all this before, if you remember.
Han, nobody twisted your arm to stay on. Aren't you the one who was always saying that a deal's a deal?
Well, are you saying it was part of the deal for the Falcon to be sitting there out of commission
whenever... You have to see yourself full of energy, Captain Solo. Can't be much fun being out there in that freezing wind day after day.
Oh, hello, General.
Sir. Hello, Chewbacca. Your Highness, it's just as well you're still here. They just decoded the message. In fact, you all might as well hear this.
What is it, General? What's wrong?
A huge force of TIE fighters jumped Commander Nara and the convoy off Dara 4.
What?
Cut them to pieces. There were no survivors.
We need them so badly. We need every one of them so badly.
Quiet, Chewie.
Luke, I'm making you commander.
What? Well, the boss was a great man, a great pilot.
It's a rotten way to step into somebody's shoes, Luke, I know. But you can handle the job. That's why you've got it.
Luke, I know how much you respected Commander Nara. But he respected you, too. That's why he put you in command of Rogue Flight.
This means no resupply, at least for a while. And no snub fighter reinforcements, either.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue Flight's just about all we've got.
Well... Then we're going to need whatever else we have. General, can you spare some techs to help Chewie work on the Falcon? Or even some repair droids, whatever you can manage.
I'll do what I can, Luke. I'll be in the command center, Your Highness.
I'll join you shortly.
Let's go, Luke. We're a little early, but we got a lot of sensors to place today. I'll get the Tauntaun saddled and we go work on our suntans. Come on, Chewie. Hey, don't forget your heavy-duty underwear, kid.
Right.
Luke, I'm glad you're here. We'll need you more than ever now.
The boss was one of the best. He was one of the best we had.
I know.
I better catch up with Han. There's so much to do.
I'll see you later, Luke.
What's wrong with you? Come on, calm down now. For a communications check, then we'll get going again. Echo 3 to Echo 7. Echo 3 to Echo 7. Han, old buddy, do you read me?
Yeah, loud and clear, Luke. What's up?
I haven't picked up any life readings so far. How about you?
Are you kidding? There isn't enough life on this ice cube to fill a space cruiser.
Listen, my Tauntaun's been acting up. She's really skittish, nervous.
Hey, I came across a carcass. It looked like one of those Wampa ice beasts made a kill a day or two ago.
Wampa, huh?
Yeah. Watch yourself, Luke. Those Wampas will go after anything they can find.
You don't have to tell me.
Well, I placed all my sensors. I'm going back to the base.
Right. I'll be with you shortly. There's a meteorite that hit the ground near here. I want to check it out. Won't take long.
Well, hurry up. It's getting colder. Looks like a bad storm's kicking up. I'm going to go thaw out my saddle sores. I'll see you at the base.
Okay. This is Echo 3. Over and out. Hey! Steady, girl. We've got an Indian. Smell something?
Yes? What is it?
Princess Leia, General Riken would like to see you in the command center as soon as possible.
Well, thanks. I'll be right there. 3PO, R2.
Yes, Your Highness?
Do either of you know if Luke and Han have gotten back yet?
They haven't returned us yet, Your Highness, but they are due at any moment.
Would you tell them I'd like to speak to them?
Most certainly, Your Highness.
Thank you.
Oh, and R2 and I have moved your new communications unit into your quarters. R2 says that it is functioning perfectly.
Well, thank you both. You've been a great help.
A pleasure to be of service, Your Highness. Is there anything else we might do?
Not just now. But please see that Luke and Han get my message.
You may rely on us. What did you say, R2? Who's coming? Yes, it's that bothersome coordinating droid again. Honestly, R2, it's so degrading that a droid with speech capability should be such an officious dullard.
Unit R2, P2. Unit C, 3PO.
Quite right, R2. You know perfectly well who we are.
Confirm. Unit R2, P2. Unit...
Very well, very well confirmed. And do stop referring to us as units, really.
Unit R2, D2, reassigned to cavern drilling operations.
What?
Unit C-3PO, reassigned to communication center.
I'll deal with this, R2. Now, just you see here, R2, D2, and I are personal aides to Commander Skywalker and the Princess Leia Organa.
Irrelevant. Reassignment is ordered.
Do you have any idea to whom you are speaking, you object? My counterpart and I were the ones who saved the Death Star plans, and we helped rescue the princess. What, R2? Oh, yes. And I'll have you know that R2 here was aboard that X-Wing fighter when our master blew up the Death Star. Confirm that, you rusting bureaucrat.
Data not relevant.
Not relevant, is it? Then allow me to tell you what is relevant. We have been given an assignment by the Princess Leia Organa herself. If you wish to countermand her order, go and argue with her.
The Princess Leia Organa?
Confirmed. So go and bother her. She'll probably have you deactivated.
Reassignment rescinded.
That's more like it. Bad enough that we have to live in these ice caverns without having to contend with the likes of you. Why, just now we found the princess's room freezingly cold. We hadn't turned up the heating system.
Confirm. Heat increased.
Well, that's what I said, isn't it? If she and our master didn't have us to look after them, then...
Error. Increased heat causes melting of cavern walls.
What?
Malfunction possible. Oh. Damage possible.
Oh, my dear. Come along, R2. It's not too late. What have you done? What do you mean, my fault? You're the one who adjusted the heating system. Look, this is dreadful.
Echo 3 to Echo 7. Echo 3 to Echo 7. Come in, Han. Han? Han, I was attacked by a Wampa. I'm in its cave. I don't know where. Han! Do you copy? I'm stuck in here. The Wampa, it left me frozen to the cave ceiling by my feet. Han... The Wampa's coming back. He's coming back. My lightsaber. It's on the cave floor. I can't reach the Jedi and his lightsaber. The lightsaber and the Jedi, the two are one. The Force binds us. The Force calls my lightsaber to me. The Force calls my lightsaber to me. Got it. Han, I got myself down, but... Oh, Han? Base camp. Anybody?
The Wampa's dead. I killed it. There's no good staying here in the cave. The Tauntaun. It's gone. I've got no survival gear. I'm gonna leave my comlink open. There's nothing to do but try to make it back on foot.
Tex want those other repair droids to help with the snow speeders.
I'll send them right over.
Outpost 4 to deck officer. Outpost 4 to deck officer.
Deck officer here.
We have a positive ID on that Tauntaun rider. It's Captain Solo. We passed him through the defensive zone. He'll be at your location any time now.
Right. I'll pass the word. Sentry?
Yes, sir.
You can let that Tauntaun rider in right away.
Right, sir.
Command Center, this is the deck officer.
Command Center here.
Captain Solo's back, sir. No sign of Commander Skywalker yet.
Right. Have Solo report here at once.
Will do. Deck officer out.
Whoa.
One of you men take his reins. Captain Solo.
Yeah? What can I do for you?
They want you and Commander Skywalker in the command center, Captain.
Well, tell them I'll be along in a bit. Luke will be back any minute. Is my ship fixed yet?
I don't think so, sir. They had to pull the Tex off of her for some problems they're having with the snow speeders.
Oh, swell. That really takes the prize.
Your first mate is working on the Falcon, though.
Thanks. Tell Command I'll be there right after I check on my ship.
General Riken and the Princess wanted to see you as soon as...
Just go in off to see your deck, will you? I got a starship. Going. Well, don't jump all over me about it. We just have to finish the job by ourselves. All right, don't lose your temper. I'll be right back and I'll give you a hand. I don't know, something at the command center. I might as well tell him we're going to be leaving. Look, forget it. I've made up my mind. Maybe when Luke gets back, he can help us with the fog.
Base, this is Skywalker. Skywalker here.
Luke.
What?
Luke.
Ben. Ben?
Yes. Listen to me, Luke.
Ben, I see you, but how it can't be.
It is, Luke.
But... I saw you die.
Listen carefully, Luke. You must go to the Dagobah system.
And I don't understand.
There you will learn from Yoda, the Jedi Master who instructed me.
Dagobah?
This is vital, Luke. You must not fail. You must not fail.
Ben, wait! Don't leave me! Ben! Ben, help me!
An Imperial probe droid now hunts the rebels on the frozen wastes of Hoth. Injured, suffering from shock and exposure, Luke Skywalker can go no further. For the young Jedi, a new quest emerges. But first, he must survive the deadly Hoth night. We'll be right back. Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back by Brian Daley. Based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. Featured in the cast were Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, Anthony Daniels as C-3PO, Perry King as Han Solo, and Anne Sachs as Princess Leia. Also heard were Bernard Behrens, Ron Fraser, Merwin Goldsmith, David Alan Greer, Nicholas Kepros, Sam McMurray, Stephen D. Newman, John Pielmeyer, Jeffrey Pearson, and Jerry Zaks. This is Ken Hiller. Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back was directed by John Madden with Tom Vagley. Sound design for Lucasfilm by Ben Burtt. Music by John Williams. Casting and production coordination by Mel Saar. The executive producer was John Voss. Post-production was realized at Studio M in St. Paul on the 3M Digital Mastering System by Tom Vagley. Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back was produced by National Public Radio in association with KUSC-FM Los Angeles with the cooperation of Lucasfilm Limited.